Live from Chicago, Illinois, here is another episode of
What's That From?
You are listening pretty late. It is time for What's That From? And when you realize, oh my gosh, I know what movie that's from, call us at 312-981-7200 and you will win a gift card from Apt Electronics. And we are very excited to play What's That From with Elliot Serrano, Eric Elk, Dave Lundy, and Mike Lieber. And reading stage directions will be Michael Heidemann. Roger, mm-hmm. We've got to make sure when I get this done, I did this on the fly tonight, so I apologize.
That's all right.
I will make sure we get a script to you next time.
Awesome.
This is not to exclude you.
I know. I never feel excluded by you.
All right, then. I wish we could, we should have you do sound effects, because I know that you guys did your radio show.
Oh, yeah.
Earlier. Maybe we'll figure that out.
Okay. Right. Next time.
Next time, I promise. All right.
I'm just happy to be on the same airwaves with you.
Oh, stop.
I mean it.
Well, I love being here with you as well. This got weird for everybody.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Are you uncomfortable? All right, here we go. Go ahead. Let's begin. Director?
Here we go. Okay.
And action.
Deep Throat is in close-up, and he's very mad.
You were doing so well, and then you got stupid. You went too fast. Christ, what a royal screw-up.
Pull back to reveal Deep Throat and Woodward in the underground garage.
I know. The pressure's off the White House, and it's all back on the post.
You've done worse than let Haldeman slip away. You've got people feeling sorry for him. I didn't think that was possible. A conspiracy like this, the rope has to tighten slowly around everyone's neck. You build from the outer edges and you go step by step. If you shoot too high and miss, then everyone feels more secure. You've put the investigation back months.
We know that. And if we were wrong, we're resigning. Were we wrong?
You'll have to find that out, won't you?
Cut to Woodward exploding.
I'm tired of your chicken games. I don't want hints. I want what you know.
Cut to Deep Throat. He blinks for a moment, and then he begins to whisper.
It was a Haldeman operation. The whole business. He ran the money. But he was insulated. You'll have to find out how.
Woodward takes a breath, and he nods.
Wait, there's more.
Cut to Woodward walking up to his apartment house later that night. He sees, and then we see, Bernstein asleep at the front door. He comes awake as Woodward approaches.
We gotta go see Bradley. I'll fill you in the car.
Cut to Bradley in his doorway in the middle of the night. It's a house with a lawn, and from somewhere there is a sound of dogs barking.
You couldn't have told me over the phone?
Cut to Woodward and Bernstein moving up the walk to Bradley.
We can't trust the phones. Not anymore. Deep Throat says so.
As Woodward beckons for him to move on out into the lawn.
We can't talk inside either?
Electronic surveillance.
Cut to the three of them moving out into the lawn. It's October now, and you see their breaths as they speak.
I finally got through to Sloan. It was all a misunderstanding that we had. He would have told the grand jury about Haldeman. He was ready to, only nobody on the grand jury asked him the dang questions.
So I guess you could say that we screwed up, but we weren't wrong.
Anything else from Mr. Throat?
Mitchell started the cover-up early. Everyone is involved in the cover-up, all the way to the top. The whole U.S. intelligence community is mixed in with the covert activities. The extent of it is incredible. And people's lives are in danger, maybe including ours.
Cut to Bradley. He nods again, starts walking to the two reporters back towards Woodward's car.
He's wrong on that last. We're not in the least danger because nobody gives a crap. What was the last Gallup poll result? Half the country's never even heard the word Watergate.
Cut to the red Carmen Ghia as the three approach.
Look, you're both probably a little tired, right? Well, you should be. Mm-hmm. You've been under a lot of pressure, so go home, have a nice hot bath, rest up 15 minutes if you want before you get your butts back in gear. Because we're under a lot of pressure, too. And you put us there. Not that I want it to worry you. Nothing's riding on you except the First Amendment of the Constitution, plus the freedom of the press, plus the reputation of a 100-year-old paper, plus the jobs of 2,000 people who still work there. But none of this counts as much as this. You screw up again, I'm going to lose my temper. I promise you, you don't want me to lose my temper. Move, move, move. What have you done for me tomorrow?
And as they get back into the car, cut to the newsroom, early morning, and it's empty pretty much, except for at their desks sit Woodward and Bernstein, typing away. As they type on and on, they do, their voices are heard. And the same voices we become familiar with, the Western Senator, the creep PR man, and the White House spokesman.
Although I'm a Republican, I would like to state, in a pure bipartisan spirit, that the greatest political scandal of this campaign is the brazen manner in which, without benefit of clergy, the Washington Post has set up the housekeeping with the McGovern campaign.
For 20 years, the Eastern liberal press has been trying to smear Dick Nixon. Fortunately, the American public is too smart to be fooled by...
I've been informed reliably by John Dean that no one connected with the White House.
It is only our pathetic Washington Post that deliberately tries to infuse the Watergate caper with the seriousness far beyond those shenanigans that have been the stock and trade of political pranksters ever since.
Woodward and Bernstein work on, and now as the voices continue condemning, we see them, all the president's men, and their faces flash on the screen for an instant. Only these aren't fashion portraits we're looking at. These are the mugshots of men taken when they were taken to jail as they flash on. The mugshots and the name... And are across each word, each the mugshots and the name, and across each word, convicted.
An insult to the American public.
The deplorable tactics employed by the Washington Post.
I have been given access to evidence in possession of the White House, and that evidence...
Woodward and Bernstein type on. Their machines are only sound in the enormous room. And now, more mugshots appear. The camera starts to move toward the pillar, the one that separates the two reporters. And the denunciations are still going on, but not so loud now, not so fierce.
Well, if I was wrong, I'm sure the heck wasn't alone.
The fact remains that except for Watergate, we ran one hell of a great campaign.
312-981-7200.
Patty, this is the hardest one you could possibly have done. I don't know how anybody's going to get this.
I have no idea what
we're going to be going into like 3 a.m. still waiting for somebody to name that movie.
Anyway, do you need a film critic now for the performance?
Yes.
Happy to give you one.
Yes,
the typing was exceptional.
Why, thank you.
I agree.
I love how the narrator realized the clue as he went along. He's like, what? Oh, wait.
Oh, yeah.
We have someone who's been calling for a while. Now, I have to tell you, Harold. By the way, first, Harold, have you won a prize from us recently?
No, you had invited me to your conference. Yesterday I had canceled it because I can't go that day.
Oh, there you go. So let me ask you this, Harold. What did you think of the performances?
It was spot on, except for I don't think there was a single woman in that movie.
No, there were no women in the movie, but I have to tell you that Michael, thank you for holding on the line and letting it ring so long. Michael was reading the stage directions, so I know that you were in fact the first one to call in with the correct answer. I believe. I don't know. What's your answer?
Thanks, Harold.
All the President's Men.
Yay!
How did you get that?
I know. That was
I got it. Too much said. A deep throat pardon drag.
I know. I was wondering about that when Michael was reading the directions. I'm like, maybe we should have told Michael not to read that because he hasn't seen the movie.
I've never seen the movie. He's don't know any of the characters.
Yes. So I was like, maybe we shouldn't have him say deep throat and Woodward and Bernstein.
Or the part in the stage directions that actually said all the president's men.
Yeah. Which, I mean,
spoiler alert. Yeah.
Yes. It was fantastic. Yeah. Well, and also, did you catch all of Roger Badish's incredible sound effect work on that?
No, I didn't.
It was spectacular.
He was
calling. That's why. Oh, yes. Yeah.
That was a great Foley work.
That was oh my God.
Yeah, actually, Roger's going to get the award for best typing in a radio scene.
Yes. It was my air typewriter.
Well, Harold, we have an Apt Electronics gift card for you. Susan and Pat, hold on the line. We also have a pair of tickets for you for Zanies. I'm sorry, Sean and Pat. We have a pair of tickets for you for Zanies this Monday night for the Funny Females. I'm hosting that show. Thank you so much, Harold. Have a great night.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hold on.
By the way, for the record, this was not actually the movie scene. I think this is either a book or a play, but there are differences between this and the movie. And I only say this because, unlike Mike, I've actually seen this movie about 100 times.
Oh, I've only seen it once. Yeah. I saw it like when I was in college.
There are key distinctions here.
Okay. It was from the 1974 adaptation of the screenplay. So
was there
it
a
might
stage version
changed
too?
Well, I'm just saying the movie, as it, the final version of the movie, had some significant distinctions between what it says in the script and the movie.
Who do you think improvised? Was it Hoffman or was it Redford? Who was?
It's a good question.
I'm just saying.
Good question.
So Rick Perlstein, who has written the books Nixon Land and Bridge to Nowhere, was kind of up in arms this week, really angry that people are making the comparisons between Watergate and what's been going on with the Trump administration, that it's not the same sort of thing, that you know, this needs to live in its own moment in history. This is unique in his eyes. Well, one, because of its rapidity, how quickly it happened after he has taken office. And, you know, what Nixon did in his time as the president is significantly different than what Donald Trump has done. This is a different kind of crazy, I think, is what Rick Perlstein would like people to acknowledge.
Well, what Nixon did didn't involve abuse of a potentially foreign power of the United States electoral system.
Right. He just thinks that this should be, it should live in its own space.
Yeah, in many ways, this is what Trump has been accused of, whether it's true or not, is far worse, colluding with an adversary of the United States against the interests of the United States to manipulate an election to get himself elected president. If it's true, and we don't know whether that's true
allegedly.
Yet. Allegedly. That would be far worse.
As our legal expert tonight on the panel, are we saying allegedly? Do we need to say allegedly repeatedly?
Not really. I mean, I've done a fair amount of defamation defense work. Yes, I know. And because he
and a fair amount of defaming
an elected official,
right? And a fair amount of defaming because Trump is not only a public official, but kind of the most famous public official. It's the standards, unless Trump, who wants to change the defamation standards, by the way, it's almost impossible to defame him.
So, okay, so that's my next question to my legal experts who've been on the show this week. So let's talk about Stephen Colbert for a moment before we go to the break. I contend that the burden of proof as to whether or not he has to prove that he is not, in fact, that holster, doesn't he?
I mean, well, first of all,
I mean, doesn't he have to prove that you're not doing that?
Well, the thing is, I didn't actually see the show, but I assume that they bleeped it out, right?
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
They did. Yeah,
they
yes.
Did.
They did.
Oh, because I saw it online.
Yes,
so
you
they
can
did
watch
not bleep
it without.
It out online.
So
yes.
If they bleeped it out and
As a broadcast,
right? And Colbert airs at what 10:30 here?
Mm-hmm. Safe Harbor.
So, right. So the Safe Harbor starts at what 10 or 11? Or midnight these days.
I don't know, but I swim in those waters quite often.
Yeah, yes. But so right now, since we're in the Safe Harbor, we can say anything we want, but I'm not going to.
Yes.
But if they bleeped it out, it's not even an FCC fine, which is up to what, like $325,000? Yes, per violation. But if they bleeped it out, it's not. So the only issue is, are people going to put enough public pressure on CBS to fire him, which they frankly probably aren't.
In fact, I don't know if you guys saw Colbert's response. So the president later in the week actually specifically named Stephen Colbert as a no-talent guy and went after Colbert, and Colbert's response was absolutely brilliant. He went on the air and he said, "Thank you," he said. "I have been goading you into saying my name for over a year. Thank you, thank you." And he went on this whole 4-minute monologue. It was fantastic.
Did Paul Ryan really send a letter to Seth Meyer, or not Paul Ryan himself, but his staff, saying, "Here's why your stuff isn't right about our healthcare plan"? Did you hear about this one as well? Yeah, no, they sent a letter. Yeah, no.
Yeah, vaguely. I don't know. Did they?
Yes.
I don't know if it was.
They sent a letter contending that he's not accurate in his portrayal of the healthcare plan.
By the way, the fine
could
even be way more, because not only was it on CBS Network, but they could fine every TV station in the country that aired it.
Wow.
Yeah.
But what are they fining him for?
The
use of the word.
They're not going to fine him because it was bleeped out and it was in the safe haven.
And he has to prove that it was inaccurate.
There are several different levels. There is obscene and profane. Two different levels of proof that you must meet. And it all comes down to the basis is prurient interest of a normal, regular American.
Oh, let's go define normal, regular American.
And I mean, there's been tons of litigation over the years in terms of, I mean, that was the standard for pornography. And there were a lot of cases where, you know, in Detroit or in some big metro area, people said this type of, you know, nudity doesn't raise to the level of pornography given our local standards. Meanwhile, in some, you know, small town in the middle of nowhere, they say, no, this does. So that's
yeah, it does change by community because you're right. It is local standard. So it would be each local TV market.
But how about this block? I think for this block, it's pretty accurate.
Yeah. That kind of language. But the irony of this, of course, would be that Trump himself was not fined for the excess Hollywood tape.
Yeah, but that was not something that was intended for broadcast in the first place. That was behind the scenes. I have to, you know what I need to do behind the scenes?
Take a break.